From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. The U.S. unemployment rate hits a 25-year high. Will the stimulus package start reversing this alarming trend, or will the efforts be too little, too late? Car makers are running on empty, and the healthcare industry is struggling. How do these sectors affect the health of the overall economy? And Chris Brown remains free on bail as he faces two felony charges in the assault of girlfriend Rihanna. It is the Reporters Roundtable. Joining us now, Deirdre Childress. She is the editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Weekend magazine, and Ernie Suggs, who is a political and urban affairs reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and currently a Nieman Fellow at Harvard University. Ernie, Deirdre, nice to have you back.
Thanks, Tony.
Let's start
Hello,
here.
Tony.
Let's start here in the unemployment line where so many of us are. It seems like every time you open a newspaper or turn on the TV, there's more bad news about the economy. This morning, we woke up to reports that the economy lost more than 650,000 jobs in February. The national jobless rate now standing at 8.1%, the worst in a quarter century. So, Ernie, the president is under a lot of pressure, of course, to start creating jobs under the stimulus package. But here's my question. He's got several plans on the table, from the stimulus to bank bailouts to health care reform. Is any of this going to start reversing this trend, and when?
I think it will, but it's going to take time. I think, as you said, President Obama has a lot of apples up in the air right now with the health care, with what's going on in Detroit with GM, and their proposed bankruptcy. So he has a lot of apples up in the air, and I think that it's going to take time. He came into a situation unlike any other president, perhaps since FDR, with an abysmal economy and an abysmal forecast on jobs. So I think it's going to take time, but I think that with all of the apples that he's throwing up there, I think something's going to stick. I think the stimulus package is going to work. It's going to take a little time.
Well, Deirdre, the White House also points to the ailing healthcare industry as part of the puzzle to our financial woes. The president held a White House health summit to come up with ways to overhaul the medical industry, and he opened the gathering by laying out the reasons that he is calling for reform.
In the last 8 years, premiums have grown four times faster than wages. An additional 9 million Americans have joined the ranks of the uninsured. The cost of health care now causes a bankruptcy in America every 30 seconds. By the end of the year, it could cause 1.5 million Americans to lose their homes.
Do you think that the public is buying the idea that reforming health care is going to help the economy?
I think the public has all come in one voice, in unison, to say that our current system is a failure. And I think that because we've all acknowledged that it's a failure, anything he can do to give us a different system, to give us a different take on this issue, seems to be the way that the direction that the administration needs to go. I think what's going to be clear for the president is that he has to be very careful in this area. One thing he's doing that I think is very positive is listening to people. I think the summit that they had yesterday, the talks that he's having as he travels across the country, listening to people and what their needs are, is going to be the most important way to come up with a comprehensive package that affects and improves the lives of most people. I think that he has to be very clear that he's not repeating the mistakes that diverted the Clinton administration from getting some reforms in this area.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I was going to suggest that to you, as a matter of fact, Ernie. He's staying away from the name Hillary Clinton, and the new face of this reform is going to be Kathleen Sebelius, presuming that she's confirmed. What does she bring to the table?
Well, I think she brings experience. If she's going to, if she's going to be an advocate for it, I think the last thing I heard is that she wasn't at the meeting yesterday because she stayed in Kansas to take care of some business in Kansas. But I think that she can be a very good advocate for this. But I think that this is, out of all the things that Obama is talking about, this is going to be one of the toughest challenges. Deirdre mentioned that he is looking for feedback from all these different constituencies, but I still think the insurance companies, I just read or saw this morning where some conservatives are launching a very, very big campaign against this. So I think this is still going to be a huge battle that, again, it's not going to be done quickly and overnight, if it's done at all.
Let's move on to another topic. Of course, one of the biggest stories outside of Washington may be the case of the state of California versus Chris Brown. The singer appeared in court in L.A. yesterday to face two felony charges and an alleged assault on his girlfriend, Rihanna. Now, his arraignment was postponed until next month, and he remains free on $50,000 bail. But, Deirdre, the issue seems to be this. Court documents say he pummeled Rihanna repeatedly in the face and the arms, even bit her and allegedly threatened to kill her. Now, she's reportedly back together with him and did not ask the court for a restraining order against him. What do you make of that?
I hate to say that I think Rihanna's making a mistake on this, because I think that the message she's sending to young men and young women is that this kind of behavior can in some way be explained or condoned. And I think that's the wrong message to give to our young people in particular. I think young men need to know the consequences of their actions. And I think Chris Brown is about to feel some of that. And I hope he's an example to other people who are suffering through this issue. And I was a little let down by her reaction in terms of getting back together with him, accepting his gifts, and sending a message to young people, in particular our daughters, that this is acceptable behavior.
It's pretty awful
when you read about bloodied mouth, and the whole exchange in the car that's alleged to have happened.
It's certainly a matter, in a sense, of is it not, Ernie, public behavior versus personal behavior. You know, we had Judge Lynn Toler on recently discussing this very matter, and she said it was the responsibility of the state to press the case, whether the victim did so or not. But many people seem to think that Rihanna has a responsibility here. What do you say?
Well, I think it's the case's state ultimately, because you're going to have a person like Rihanna or any woman who is stuck in this kind of situation, who's going to backtrack or who has the potential to backtrack. So I think it's very important for the states to advocate for women. And not only if we take Rihanna and Chris Brown out of this whole situation, this is going on right now as we're speaking. Some woman is being abused by a man. And I think it's incumbent upon states and local governments and local prosecutors to convict these men and to prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law so that it doesn't happen again. Because you are going to have cases where, and we have seen it all the time, where women are ultimately killed by men that have been arrested before who have beaten them. And we have to take it out of their hands somewhat. And, again, it's not about Rihanna and Chris Brown. This is about the whole, class of women who are being abused by men.
Well, let's flip the script for a moment to talk about the responsibility that Chris Brown may have in all of this. He's reportedly taking anger management classes. Do you think, and this will be the last question on this before we move on to another topic, do you think, Deirdre, that this is a sincere effort on his part to reform, or simply a show to stay out of prison and save his career?
Oh, I think it's a genuine effort. I work with entertainment news, and I think that given his background in history, his mother's own history of some abuse by his stepfather, I think it probably just really came home to him what he's done. And I'm not excusing it, but I think that reality has set in, and he's going to be facing the consequences. I think that when you step back from something like this and look at photos and what your behavior was, I'm pretty sure that he's a contrite individual. But I like the fact that he's going out and seeking some help with it, because it seems to be a deep-seated problem for his family.
All right, talking.
If I can jump in very quickly, I don't think it's sincere at all. I think he's doing it because he was caught, and if he's probably beaten her before, he's probably done things to her before. He was caught. He wants to rehabilitate his image. His managers and producers perhaps told him to do this, and that's why he's doing it. He's not, this is not sincere at all, in my opinion.
Well,
I don't know Chris Brown.
It'll be interesting. None of us do, personally, and we'll have to wait and see how it turns out. Let's end Reporters Roundtable on this with another person who is facing consequences for his actions, not physical, but certainly verbal. I'm talking about Chairman Michael Steele of the Republican National Committee. Now, some people within the committee are asking for his head on a platter. We all know about his brouhaha with Rush Limbaugh, but just the other day he said that the GOP needed to go on a 12-step recovery plan. I guess my question to you, and I'll put it to you, Deirdre, is, does he talk too much?
I'm not sure that he talks too much, because he is the chairman of the party and he needs to be out there. I think it's the way that he speaks. I think that this whole criticism he's facing about saying bling bling and my bad and some of the black vernacular he's using in his speeches, I think that's what's getting to people. And then I think maybe he needs to temper it and work with his tone a little bit. I think he tried to do that Wednesday following all of the backlash that occurred after his appearance on D.L. Hughley's CNN show. But I think a lot of the message needs to get out there. That's his job and his responsibility. But I think it's about the tone and the approach, and I think that's what's getting him into trouble.
Well, you know, it got Howard Dean into trouble in a sense, and I'm wondering really quickly with you, Ernie, is he toast, political toast now?
I think he is. I think this has been a horrible first couple of weeks for him. You know, the apology to Rush Limbaugh, the letter from the woman from North Carolina who I covered when I was there. You know, it's just been a horrible week. I mean, horrible first couple of weeks for him, and I think he's pretty much done. Even if he doesn't leave the office, I think his specter there has been so watered down and so tainted that he's not going to be effective as the leader of the party.
All right, we'll have to leave it right there. I appreciate both of you coming on. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Great job.
Deidre Childress is the editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Weekend magazine and the National Secretary for the National Association of Black Journalists. She joined us from the Audio Post studios in Philadelphia. And Ernie Suggs is a political and urban affairs reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and currently a Nieman Fellow at Harvard University. He joined us from the studios of WGBH in Boston.